Want to welcome everybody today. Let's see our time. Okay, 40 minutes. We got this. Yeah, we're glad that you guys could come here today to worship. If you guys may have noticed, we had a little leakage in the back of the room. So the soundboard is, I think it's out of commission. So yeah, we thought about doing like some audio and stuff for speakers and microphones, but we'll have to figure something out. We're glad you guys could be here. This is the first service of 2022. Hooray! 2022 is already here, which was kind of crazy, especially if you're older, you realize how many years you've been alive. But yeah, so we're welcome here, whether you guys are online or in person. We're so glad you guys could join us. And yeah, we hope you guys can worship today. Whatever is on your hearts and your minds for the new year, I hope that you guys can bring it to God and to be able to guide your hearts and minds toward Him. Let's have a little prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today. This is the start of a new year, a start of a new chapter in our lives. Help us to be able to count our days, Lord, because our days here on earth are limited. And as we progress year by year, Lord, I pray that you can help us to grow and to learn and to change. As we look back on 2021 today, Lord, help us to be able to see the areas that we did grow in ways that honor you, areas that we did serve or love or care or do the things that please you. Help us to also see the areas that we need some work on. Maybe we've done some things that we're not so proud of. Maybe we've wasted certain time or opportunities, or maybe we've done things that hurt others, God. I pray that we also recognize those things. And as we move into 2022, Lord, help us to be able to keep going with those things that are going well, to keep pushing forward with what pleases you and what's good for us and good for each other, and help us to change and to learn from what we did wrong as well. And I pray that 2022 could be a year of growth and life and a new beginning, a new chapter in our lives. And I pray that you are with us every step of the way. Thank you, Lord, for today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today we're going to talk about 2021 versus 2022. Again, it's so weird that it's already 2022. Right? Just to think about the years keep adding up. Right? I graduated high school over 20 years ago. Oh, my goodness. I thought 2001 was like so far in the future back then. Right? And when our son's going to be born 2022, by the time he graduates high school, it'd be 2040. Like, what the heck? Right? The years just keep going, man. But here's a little introduction thing. How many of you guys are familiar with Venn diagrams? Okay. Five people, six people are familiar with Venn diagrams. So Venn diagrams, you have these circles, and it's all about the overlapping. So things that belong in one circle have one category, and if they overlap with another circle, they belong to more than one category. Like, I really like this Venn diagram I found online. For example, things you say when you start a fight is one category. And there's things that you say to console a child. Say a kid is sad, you can say certain things that help them to feel okay. And there's certain things you can say to pet a dog. And I like some of the overlap. Like, for example, with petting a dog and consoling a child, you can both say, shh, it's okay, right? When you pet a dog, it's okay, doggy. Or a child, you can be like, it's okay. But then if you want to console a child, you can say, you want your mommy? But you can also say that to start a fight. What, you want your mommy? Or like the other one too, is petting a dog. Hey, you want to go outside, doggy, right? Or you can also say that to start a fight. Hey, you want to go outside? Right? It's the same thing. And then I like how that middle category fits all three. Hey, buddy. All right. So if a child is sad, you can be like, hey, buddy. All right. Or if you see a dog, you want to pet a dog like, hey, buddy. Or if you want to start a fight, hey, buddy. And I like how like it overlaps in all three categories. Right. Just the same phrase kind of overlaps in multiple things. And I thought about our year 2021. Let's say maybe we're not going to be talking about starting a fight and whatever. But let's just say maybe our words, what we say. Imagine if we drew a circle and draw another circle. And imagine maybe one circle is what God wants, and the other circle is what we did. And I think as we look back at 2021, how much overlap would there be? How many of our words would be what God wanted us to say? And we'll talk a little bit more in detail about that. And then how many of our words were not necessarily what God wanted us to say, right? And again, I'm not talking about like maybe morally neutral stuff, right? You know, if I order like a pizza, it's not like, God did not command you to order a pizza, Jonathan. Forgive me, you know? But I'm thinking things that are kind of moral components, right? And we'll talk more in detail. For example, God wants us to encourage each other, to say encouraging words, to build each other up. But then if I look back on my year, how many words did I say that were perhaps discouraging, perhaps insulting, perhaps complaining, perhaps things that brought people down instead of built them up? Or maybe words, right? Like, for example, God tells us to use our words and to pray for people. How many of our words, instead of praying for people, end up complaining about people? Instead of talking to this person to God or talking to God about this person, maybe we end up gossiping with our friends about this person instead and talking trash. And I want us to really think about our 2021. How was it? Because as we look at Jesus, right? Like, one of the things that's interesting that I see about Jesus is that with Jesus, there isn't really two circles. Everything that Jesus does is exactly what the Father wants Jesus to do. Right, so imagine Jesus' circles would be just, you know, that Jesus circle and then the Father's circle. There's going to be complete overlap. Everything that he does, everything that he says, everything that he taught was always what the Father told him to do. And I want us to really consider that, right? As we look back at 2021, we'll see there's going to be differences. There's going to be times where our actions, our words, our thoughts, our whatever, doesn't always coincide with what God wants. And as we begin 2022, I want us to really think, how can we bring those circles together? How can we make the overlap happen? Because what happens, right? So, you know, bluntly, let's just call it what it is, right? So if we do things that are in this area, that's called obeying God. And what will we call things that are outside of this area? What's the word for that? Disobeying, right? It's sin. And so as we look back at our years, I want us to really say, like, not just kind of like, oh, this is okay, or this is just not optimal. But I want us to also see that we're disobeying God, that we're not doing what God wants us to do. And ultimately, that's sin. Kind of like, well, that's one of the reasons why I picked today's passage for the call to worship, right? God says to the wise people, hey, don't boast in your wisdom. Rich people, don't boast in your wealth. Strong people, don't boast in your strength. If you're going to brag, brag about what? Anybody remember? About what about God? That you know God, right? It is God. You're bragging about God, that you know God, that you understand God, that you have a relationship with God. And I think, right, again, we'll go into more details. Maybe for some of us, right, maybe the God circle is kind of there, but your main circle is something else, right? Maybe your main circle is school. Maybe your main circle is your social life. Maybe your main circle is your status, your job, or whatever. But for Christians, our main circle that we want to overlap with is the God circle. Whatever we do, think, and say, we want it to overlap with what God does. And so we're jumping a bit. We've been doing the book of John with our Word Go study group, and we just got right before the arrest. And then we switched over to Advent, where we did Christmas reading for Advent. And we finished that. Now we're jumping back into the book of John. And so now we're jumping to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, which does seem a bit kind of like, whoa, how did we get here so fast? But I think it's good as we look at the crucifixion to see that Jesus' birth was connected to the crucifixion. Sometimes we focus so much on baby Jesus, but we forget that baby Jesus came to grow and to teach and to die. So let's read this part together. John chapter 18, verses, I think, 1 to 2. After Jesus had said these things, He went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas took a company of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees and came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. So remember, Jesus had his last supper with his disciples. That's the supper where Jesus washed their feet. He gave a bunch of teachings. And during this time, Judas slipped out. And so after a while, Jesus talks to his disciples and they go out from this room to go out to a garden. That's where he oftentimes went to pray at night. And so Jesus and 11 disciples go there at night. We know that it should be full moon because that's when they celebrate Passover. So imagine a moonlit night. Jesus and the disciples walk through the city late at night and they get to this garden. And while they're in the garden, Jesus is praying, and what comes? Judas brings a group of company of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. So while Jesus is doing this, Judas brings a bunch of chief priests, like religious leaders, and also a company of soldiers. The word that's used likely refers to a couple hundred soldiers. So there's Jesus, 11 guys, that's 12 guys, and then an army, like a small army of a couple hundred soldiers. And this big mob with religious leaders and soldiers are carrying torches and weapons and lanterns. Imagine how intimidating that would be. If you've ever seen Roman soldiers, one of the reasons they're so good is their armor is actually very good. They have the full helmet. They got a giant shield. They got like a javelin and a piton and like a sword. And they got like a whole ton of stuff. So imagine this, like a bunch of these heavily armored soldiers coming. Boom, 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 boom. Maybe like up to 100 or 200 or 300 soldiers. Boom, 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 in the middle of the night. What do you think Jesus' reaction is going to be? Yo, Jesus, guys, we got to escape, you know? Everybody for himself. Let's all run away. Let's meet at the point, at the special place we got to meet at, right? You know? No. Let's look at what Jesus' response is as the soldiers come. Let's read this together. Then Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Who is it that you're seeking?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "I am he," Jesus told them. Then he asked them again, "Who is it that you're seeking?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. "I told you I am he," Jesus replied. "So if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the words he had said, "I have not lost one of those you have given me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. At that, Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword away. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me?" And so these soldiers come to Jesus, and Jesus' response is, "Who are you looking for?" Jesus knows what they're going to do. Jesus knows what's going to happen. And he's, you know, you can see his response right there. And Peter's response is very different. Peter whips out his sword and tries to attack a dude. Probably the guy dodges and cuts off the guy's ear. Don't worry, Jesus heals the guy's ear, so he's okay. But how would you compare or contrast Jesus and Peter during this time? Let's look at Jesus. How does Jesus respond to the fact that like a ton of soldiers just came up at night to his crew? Any answers? How would you describe what he's doing or how he's doing? He knew what was going to happen. What else? Very calm. Calm. Right? He's not freaking out. He's not sweating. He's not running. What else? Consider. That's good. What else? Anything else? Face the soldiers directly. How do we describe Peter? How would you describe Peter's reaction? Can you say that again? Okay. I guess rejecting Jesus' arrest, right? Rejecting Jesus' plan.
I would say he's eager to fight to beat Judas for and cut off the high priest servant's right ear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good, right? Because he rejects Jesus' plan, because Jesus had told Peter prior that he would eventually be handed over to the religious leaders and be crucified and killed. So Peter is not going along with that plan. He wants to do his own plan. And yeah, Peter seems eager to fight. And do you think this is a smart idea? Like, even like a, even if you don't know Jesus' plan, do you think that's a smart idea? There's hundreds of Roman soldiers, fully trained professional soldiers, fully armed with helmets and javelins and spears and swords and so on. And there's 12 guys. Do you think Peter's plan is a really well thought out plan? No, unless he's like an anime character or something, he's not going to be able to fight all these guys, right?
Unless he has a machine
gun. Yeah, right? Unless he's got like a cheat code or something, he's not going to win in this, right? And if anything, what do you think would happen if he ended up attacking? How would that affect the crew? Right? Like, his action is so stupid on multiple dimensions. Right? So on one hand, he's rejecting Jesus' plan of being arrested and going with this. And secondly, even if he didn't know about Jesus' plan, this is such a stupid plan. How is he going to fight off a whole group of soldiers? He's going to get them killed. Right? Anything else that you guys can think of how Peter's reaction was? Angry. Afraid. Right? He's got a fight or flight kind of a thing, right? Like, he's probably really afraid. He gets angry. Panic. You know? And you can kind of see the contrast, the compare and contrast between the two, right? Jesus knows exactly what the Father wants to do. Jesus knows that, let's go, maybe the purple for the color of royalty, right? Jesus knows what's what. And so he knows exactly what the Father wants. So his circle is totally overlapping. Everything that he's doing, everything that he's saying is all about the Father's plan. His doing this thing is going to lead to what? It's going to lead to him dying on the cross, which leads to what? Saving people from their sins. So his reaction, whatever he does, follows exactly God's plan. And it leads to the best outcome for everybody. Yes, he has to suffer. Yes, he has to go through some bad stuff. But through his actions, he will save countless people from their sins. He will bring glory to God. He will resurrect from the dead. This is it. But if you look at Peter's circle, if you look at Peter's circle, it's like, ooh, it's over here. It's totally out there. His actions are not following God. There's a zero overlap. And what he's going to do is get his whole team killed. Like, there's not one good thing that's going to come from this. It's just going to lead to death. Let's continue on with the story. So Jesus gets arrested. And the crew, I kind of cut out a little bit just for the sake of brevity and to focus on what we're talking about today. But so Jesus gets arrested. He lets himself be arrested by the people. And it's interesting, too, because when he gets arrested, it's all part of God's plan. In another gospel, Jesus says that he could call down like legions of angels to come and save him. Right. So when Jesus gets arrested, it's not like those like spy movies. Mitz and I like to watch action movies. Right. When the good guy gets arrested, he's like, OK, shoot, we're arrested. Let's just go with it. We'll find a way out. Right. They get surrounded by the bad guy and like they have to give up and they have to figure out a plan to escape. Right. Instead, Jesus tells the disciples, hey, I could call down like a gajillion angels. I could just murder everybody and I could get out of here. I'm doing this on my own. I'm doing this because I want to. All right. So Jesus's action is totally voluntary, 100%. Remember, Jesus is the one that created the world, so he could uncreate it if he wants to. Jesus could command supernatural angelic beings. I don't know if they could even die, right? Like, he can speak and then the winds and the waves stop. He can control the weather. He's like an X-Man, right? Like, he can do all these amazing, powerful things. But Jesus says, look, man, I'm going to go along with God's plan. And so Jesus gets arrested and he gets taken to a place. So let's read this together. Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. So the other disciple went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who was the doorkeeper said to Peter, "You aren't one of the man's disciples too, are you?" "I am not," he said. Now the servants and the officials had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing there with them, warming himself. So Jesus gets taken to one of the religious leaders' houses. And then one of the disciples that's with Peter has kind of inside access to this place. He knows these people. So he gets Peter to, he goes inside and says, "Hey, Peter, I'll be right back. I'm just going to let them know who you are, and I'll get you brought into the inner courtyard." So the disciple goes, he does his thing, and he talks to the doorkeeper, and then, "Hey, Peter, come on in." And so Peter and his other disciple come in. It's cold at night, and so they're warming themselves by the fire. And oh, and by the way, when he's coming in, the doorkeeper, it's just some girl who's like watching the door, says, "Hey, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples?" And what's Peter's response? No. And so Peter comes in and he's standing by the fire and like, "Ooh, it's cold, it's cold." And I like how John presents the gospel. He switches back and forth. So here's what Peter does. And then the camera switches over to Jesus. Let's read this together. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus answered him. "I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews gather, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So while Peter is warming himself by the fire, the camera goes back to Jesus. Jesus is probably tied up, and he's standing in a room full of religious leaders, probably dudes in some fancy get-ups. And they're questioning him about, "Who do you say you are? What do you do? What are you teaching?" Right? They're grilling him. And what does Jesus say? How would you paraphrase this? Why are you asking me? Like, I've been publicly teaching this stuff. If you want to incriminate me, there's a ton of witnesses, right? I've been talking to crowds everywhere, man. If you want to know what I taught, you can ask these hundreds of witnesses. Why are you grilling me? Right? These guys are trying to trip Jesus up, but there's tons of witnesses. Like, imagine if somebody does a crime, does a murder out in the open. And then we just ask the bad guy, "What did you do? Why did you do it?" And you're like, shouldn't you be talking to the witnesses or the cameras? Or shouldn't you be? The evidence is right there, man. Why are you talking? You know, like, you should just go find the evidence. It's everywhere. Back in the Old Testament days too, right? When the law of Moses, the way to condemn somebody is that you get witnesses to come and to give witness. Right? But it's clear that these guys aren't trying to do the legal procedures. Right, if they want to find a reason to condemn Jesus, they could just ask the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have heard Jesus teach and see if anybody says that, "Yeah, I heard Jesus said he's good. He said these illegal things," right? "Yeah, I heard Jesus said he's going to throw over the Roman government. Yeah, I heard Jesus blaspheme," right? You can, if you want to have a legit interrogation, there's tons of people you can talk to. But instead, they're grilling Jesus, even though that's not how the law back then worked. And so Jesus says, "Look, man, why are you talking to me? Look, you could ask all, if you legitimately want to know what I taught, Ask the hundreds of people that have heard me teach. And of course, the officials don't like that. One of the guys just like slaps Jesus in the face. And he says, look, man, if I said anything wrong, tell me why I'm wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. Give me evidence. But if I said something right, why did you hit me? Like, imagine how calm this is. Like, I feel like if somebody did that to me, I would lose my bacon, right? I would go nuts. You know what I mean? I think I would like try to fight back or yell or cuss somebody out, right? Like, why are you doing this? Ah, you know, come at me, bro. Like, hey, buddy. Like that Venn diagram. That's what I would do. But Jesus is like, why did you hit me? If I said everything correct, if I said something wrong, tell me where I'm wrong. If I said it right, why did you hit me? And it's like, oh. He's got so much composure. We'll talk about that later too. And now the camera zooms back out to Peter outside by the fire, warming himself. Let's read this together. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, didn't I see you with him in the garden? Peter denied it again. Immediately, a rooster crowed. So while Jesus is talking and being interrogated by these officials, right? Again, he's tied up. There's probably some soldiers. There's a bunch of officials everywhere. Peter's just outside by the fire. And somebody says, hey, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And Peter says, no, I'm not. I'm not a disciple. I'm not. And then later on, one of the people are like, hey, didn't I see you out there? And then Peter denies it too. In one of the other gospels, Peter swears an oath and says that he does not know Jesus. And swearing an oath doesn't mean he drops like a profanity. It means that he kind of like, you know, I swear to God, I don't know Jesus. That's kind of a making an oath, right? So imagine people are asking, do you know Jesus? And Peter's like, I swear to God, cross my heart, hope to die. I don't know this Jesus guy. I mean, that's like how far he's going to deny Jesus. And so if you look at this, how would you compare and contrast Jesus and Peter in these passages? As Jesus is getting grilled, what are the things you notice about what he does or says or what he's like? Also, online people too, you guys can chat. Anything? Call.
Have a good temper.
Good temper. Logical. In control. Speaks the truth. Nice. Right? He's calm. He's got a good temper, right? Like, he's not going flying off the handle. Like, he's getting pushed to ridiculous limits. Like, I'm usually pretty calm, but I have my limits, right? And Jesus is way past my limits, right? Getting slapped and getting falsely accused. I feel like I'd lose my temper. He's also very logical. He's not going wild in the brain. He's not like screaming or yelling. He's like, hey, this is the truth. This is it, right? He lays out the evidence fair and square. He's also in control. Jesus isn't being like, uh-oh, give me a moment. Hey, let me talk to my lawyer. Shoot, where's an exit, you know? He's in control. He's there. Even though they think they're in power, later on we'll see with Pilate like that too. Like, even though they think they're in power, Jesus is exactly where he wants to be. And also he speaks the truth. He's not lying. He's not bluffing. He's not doing anything. He's just laying it out there. Anything else you can think of what Jesus is doing? Why do you think Jesus is so calm as a cucumber in this passage? He knows what's coming. not only does he know what's coming, what else has to be with there too? Like, imagine if we were in that situation and we knew that we're going to die within the next day. Would we be so calm? Right? Like, if I knew I was going to die, I don't think I'd be like, yeah. If I have spoken to you wrongly, tell me why, right? How would you feel if you were in that situation and you knew you were going to die? Like, I think I would be panicking, right? But with Jesus, he not only knows it, he's accepted it and he's going for it, right? He's like embraced it. He's embraced his fate. He knows he's going to die, but he's charging forward to save the people. How about Peter? How do you contrast or compare Peter?
Coward.
Right? So Peter is like, I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. Right? What else? Lying. All right, so Peter's kind of lying, right? In denial. I don't know, maybe we could connect, maybe logical with in denial. Jesus accepts the truth and speaks the truth, and then Peter's kind of denying the truth and lying. What else? Panic. I can see that. Right, Peter's panicking, whereas Jesus is in control. Emotional, overtaken by emotion. I maybe call me good temper. Anyhow, these are all kind of intertwined. But I think you get an idea, right? A lot of the things that Peter is doing is the 180 opposite of what Jesus is doing and being. Peter's panicking. Peter's freaking out. And Peter is denying Jesus while Jesus is calm as a cucumber. Jesus is the one that's going to die, but Peter's the one that's freaking out. And what happens at the end of this passage? If you guys remember in other Gospels, what happens after the rooster crows at night? What does Peter do? Yeah, he cried. He realized what he had done. He had rejected the guy that loved him and cared for him. Before, Peter said, I will die for you, Jesus. I'm going to lay down your life. If you're going to die, I'm going to die too. And what happens? He totally chickens out. Like Mitzi, somebody was like, "I people need to keep their word, right?" That's something that Mitzi really, like, that's one thing that she really values in people. If you say it, you should do it. And so with Peter, he's doing the exact opposite though, right? Peter, Jesus, I will die for you. And then, I don't know Jesus. I swear to God, I don't know Jesus. Stop it. I don't know him, right? And so Peter realizes what he had done. In one night, he denies Jesus three times. This isn't over the course of a year. It's just one night. And he cries and he weeps bitterly. He regrets it. He had a chance to stand up for Jesus, to be proud for Jesus, to struggle for Jesus, to serve Jesus, to be there with Jesus. But instead, he does the exact opposite. He attacks when he's supposed to be like letting Jesus go do his thing. And when he can proudly stand up for Jesus, he's like, I don't know Jesus. Like in both actions, he's doing his own thing. Neither of these actions are part of God's plan. And he weeps bitterly because of that. And I want us to really consider with our 2021. How do we characterize ourselves? Like imagine like God's circle. And then imagine our circle. Where would our circle be? Would our circle be like, oh yeah, we got like a good overlap. Or maybe our circle be somewhere over here, out in the twilight zone. Where would our circle be for 2021 as we look back? And I think too, Peter really regrets denying Jesus. Peter really regrets doing the wrong thing and he cries. But how many of us do all sorts of things, but we don't really regret? How many of us really look at what we do and see whether these circles overlap or not? Like, for example, let's go concrete examples, so it's not so abstract. Focus. How is the focus in our lives? What does the Bible tell us to focus on? Anything? How about this? Seek first the blank. Kingdom, right? I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Right? And so if we look at our lives, how much of our lives involved seeking God's kingdom? How many days did we wake up thinking, how can I grow and serve or expand God's kingdom? What are the things that God wants us to focus on? How about today's passage, the call to worship? To know God. How many days, how many times this past year did our focus be, or was our focus to know God better? Right? How many of days in our lives were, it was a kingdom of Jonathan, right? Like, I gotta ask myself too, for the last year, how many days did I spend trying to build my own kingdom, trying to do the things that I wanted to do versus what I did for God? How much time did I do to know, I don't know something else, right? That's not God. How much time did I spend serving something totally different, right? What's my overlap? How about your 2021? What was that? What could you do for 2022 to change that so that your circles, again, we're not expecting people to be perfect. Everything you do is what God wants, right? We're still flawed. We're not Jesus. But how can we make those circles more overlapped? How can we grow in God? So what can you do? Maybe for your focus, maybe for you, it's your focus you need to change, right? Maybe your New Year's resolution should be like, hey, look, I want to spend more time getting to know God. I want to spend time building his kingdom by serving the church and other people in the church. I want to do something for God. I want to make this the year of God. So maybe for you, it's focus. How about time? How much time do we really spend with God and for God? Right? God tells us to pray. How much time do we really spend praying in 2021? God tells us to spend time reading the word to understand what God says. How much time do we really spend reading the Bible? God tells us to worship in song. How much time do we really spend worshiping God in song? What kind of the list goes a bit on and on, right? How do we spend our time? And again, I'm not saying like 24 hours a day, you must be glorifying God, right? But I think for some of us, maybe our circles isn't so good overlap. Maybe it's like, maybe our circles are like this, right? Here's the God circle. And then our circle is like a tangent. It just touches one singular point. That circle, your circle and God's circle only touches like on Sunday morning, right? Or maybe it just kind of touches for 5 minutes in the morning. My circle and God's circle touches. Look back at your 2022. What can you do for 2021? What can you do for 2022 to make that a change, maybe? Maybe that's something you need to work on. To dedicate more time to God. To be able to say, look, I'm going to spend more time praying. It doesn't have to be like 30 minutes, 1 hour a day. But if you're spending 5 minutes of prayer, go for six. If you're spending, you're reading the Bible once a week, twice a week, right? I'm not saying you guys need to jump some crazy thing, but just, hey, just one little notch closer so that you can make your 2022 just a little bit better. Or how about words, the words that you have said? How many of the words that God tells us to build each other up with our words, right? How much time have you spent with your words to build other people up, to encourage them? to tell them that God loves them, to tell them that they're worthwhile, to encourage them in the right direction. How many of our words are kind of the opposite? We maybe tear people down. We maybe tease people at school. Maybe we insult people. Maybe we roast people. Or maybe instead of using our words to pray for people and to, you know, like maybe there is somebody that like, oh, that guy or that girl. God says to use our words and to pray for them, right? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Right? You can use your words to pray for those people. But instead, you use your words to cut people down instead. Man, look at that guy. What a jerk. What an idiot. So stupid, you know, whatever. How can you use your words for God in 2022? Or how about people in your life? How many of these people are you serving and loving and caring for? Are you treating them in a God-given way? Are you only using people for your own benefit? Or are you trying to serve and love and care for them and to build them up in God? Or church, right? When you come to church, God tells us when he comes that each one of us is important to the body of Christ. Each one of us has something to give. Doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 80 years old, you have something to give to the church. Some skills, abilities, talents, your heart to give to build the church up. Maybe your experience in 2021 is just to come and to receive. But God has made it so that you can also give and contribute too. I think it's really important for us to really consider these areas. Right? Whether it's your time, whether it's your focus, what am I going for? Whether it's your school or whatever. Because I think eventually the Holy Spirit will convict us someday. The Holy Spirit will open our eyes like Peter. Someday we may open our eyes and realize I've wasted so much of my time chasing after useless things. I've built up my kingdom and my kingdom is garbage. Instead of building up people with my words, I've ended up hurting people and use my words to tear people down. I've spent so much of my time chasing after things that are worthless when I could have gotten to know the God of the universe. There will be a time when we'll be called to give an account for what we have done. And I don't want us to get to that point where we regret our decisions. Right? Thankfully, we'll talk about Peter's thing later as well. Thankfully, Peter does repent. He does turn back to Jesus, right? Later on, when Jesus sees him, Jesus does care for him, right? So if you've sunk your 2021 and your 2020 or 2019, 18, 17, whatever, if you wasted those years, God still loves you. Jesus still wants you. God still wants you to turn to him. And your 2022 can be better than your 2021. So don't feel discouraged if you realize you really beefed it. But think about what you could do to grow. And I want us to really think about this verse, right? The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The wealthy shouldn't boast about his wealth. The one who boasts, wise, strong, and wealthy, don't boast about those things. I want our church to be, when we look back, let's say in next year, 2023, I want us to look back at 2022 and say, look, yeah, I'm not really bragging about how smart I got or my academics. I'm not really going to brag about my job or my salary. I'm not really going to brag about my physical condition. The one thing I'm proud of for 2022 is that I knew, understand, and know God better. Because a lot of people, again, like they go through their years and they brag about these things that are meaningless. But as a church, I want our church to look back at 2022 and say, look, this is the year that we got to know God better. And that's my hope for our year. So as you go throughout the day and the week, I want you to really consider how can you know God better during this year and what area? Let me know if you have any questions or need any encouragement. You can also talk to other believers as well. But make that a real priority in your life. Because otherwise, I don't want us to see us be like Peter thinking, what the heck have I done? What do you want your 2022 to look like? It's still the beginning. It's still early. You have time. A really question, what do you want your 2022 to look like? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the example of yourself. You did everything perfectly. You followed the plan to a T, and you dotted every I. You did everything perfectly, Jesus. You were calm. You were controlled. I don't know how you did it. You just did it. Thank you, God, also for the example of Peter. He is really imperfect, kind of like me. Help us to see that we're a lot like Peter. That we stumble, we fail, we do things wrong a lot of times. But I pray that we can also be like Peter, eventually turn around and come back to you. As we look back on our 2021, I pray that we can really focus on the spiritual area of our lives. Yes, our academics were important. Our school was important. Our work was important. Our friendships and all those things were important, God. But what's even more important is whether or not we know you. Our school can't save us from our sins. Our money can't get us to heaven. Our wisdom can't bring us peace like you can. All those things that we chase, Lord, are just meaningless, ultimately. I pray that our church can really pursue you for 2022. Help us to see the areas that we need to grow and to learn and to change. I pray that your Spirit opens our eyes so that we can know what to do and know how to get there. And I pray that you empower us and strengthen us to make it happen. We thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some quick announcements. We're going to have, Elder Lears came up and said 5 minutes. Yeah. So real quick, we have some announcements coming up. Youth Fellowship is this Saturday. We're going to be talking about your year. How can we plan to make your year good? Also, English Worship next week. We have Word Go Sharing on January 14th on a Friday, and Adult Fellowship. And we're going to talk about the next topic as well, and English Worship. I'm going to do a shorter announcement on the Chinese side, but for you guys, Ivy Clark has a couple options for activities to do, I think, that are fantastic. One of them is Experiential Journey in the Beatitudes. Learn and to be able to talk about how we can experience the Beatitudes, right? Not just talk about words, but like, how can we really experience it? So it'll be on Wednesdays. If you want more information, we can hook you up. It'll be online as well on Wednesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. during these Wednesdays. Also, there's a seminar during Missions Fest, or kind of Agape something. It's like a different group, but they have a bunch of speakers. And Ivy Clark has a seminar about who do you say I am? How do we know Jesus and what do we think about him? And that's going to be on January 22nd. Ivy's going to give me a little more information. If you guys are interested in those events, talk to me and we can hook you guys up. And I think it's going to be, we got to head downstairs and complete our worship and also Lord's Supper as well. Yes, and online people, you guys will be bumped back into the main room. Let's head down. Yeah.